O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Ay, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me from my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance being yet unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. Now those precious verses from Psalm 139 continue the revelation of the all-seeing providence of God. They underscore even further the fact that God's omniscience extends to all circumstances involved in the life of each person in the whole world. So the text speaks a third truth concerning God's knowledge of you. We have seen it teach that God knows you personally. We have observed its teaching that God knows you thoroughly. Now this passage teaches us that God knows you constantly. There is never one moment of any day or night in which God is not personally aware of all the circumstances in which you are involved. God knows about you constantly and unceasingly. Now what can we say about God's knowledge? Let us say first, God's knowledge is clear and perfect. The psalmist says that the path and all the ways of God's people are under the eye and surrounded by the providence of God. Now, since he is so intimately involved with his people, his knowledge is always exact. The universal and perfect knowledge of God is taught also in Psalm 44, verse 21. Shall not God search this out? The psalmist asks. For he knows the secrets of the heart. Hebrews 4:13 adds to this testimony, neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight, but all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. Now since all things are naked and opened, that is stripped bare and revealed, there is no way to keep any secret from God. So we might say, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. He makes no mistakes. He is never misinformed or uninformed. He never misunderstands. His knowledge is infinite, perfect, universal, and personal. He knows everything about all things. There is no hiding from him. But a second truth of our text is that God's knowledge is underived and independent. That is to say, no one needs to inform him to keep him current on events. When I was a college student, there was a saying on our campus, if someone misbehaved in some way, another would say, if he doesn't behave, someone will tell God on him. But of course, God needs no tattletales, no reporters. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? John chapter 2, verses 23 and 24 reports, there were some people who believed on Jesus because they had seen his miracles. But Jesus did not accept them as his disciples, nor offer himself to them as their teacher. Why? Because he knew all men, and needed not that any should testify of man, for he knew what was in man. It is the same today. God knows you as well as he knew them. A third truth from our text is that God's knowledge is all-inclusive. That is, Psalm 139 teaches that God knows all things about all persons under all conditions and in all places. Observe, God knows all things in heaven and in earth. Verses 2 through 5 of this psalm report that God knows every act, word, and thought of every person on earth. Verses 7 and 8 says that God knows everything about you, whether you ascend up into heaven or make your bed in hell. See, time and eternity make no difference in His knowledge. He is fully familiar with all that happens in both spheres. God knows all things in all geographical locations on earth. Verses 9 and 10 wonder if God would be present, if sun would suddenly move with the speed of light to a remote island of the sea. And the answer, even there, your hand will lead me and your right hand will hold me. Like Jonah, we must learn God is not limited to one place. You cannot flee from His presence. He is personally present in all geographical climes. God knows all things, whether they transpire in light or in darkness. So verses 11 and 12 follow the idea that if man cannot see because of the darkness, then perhaps God cannot see. But it concludes, the darkness hides not from you. The night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. Now God knows all about us, whether we are in a physical body or out of it. Verses 13 to 16 teach that God knew us before we were born, while we were being formed in our mother's womb. He said to Jeremiah, "Before I formed you in the belly, I knew you. Before you came forth out of the womb, I sanctified you, and I ordained you a prophet to the nations." Yes, God knows all things about all persons and things. Now, such knowledge is of profound influence to us. First, it keeps us from a pride of intellect. However wise and knowledgeable we become, we will never be as wise as God. Second, it keeps us from trying to hide sin or deceive God in any way. He who knows every word, deed, and thought on earth has known us in intimate and personal detail before our birth. He is not limited in knowledge by location geographically, nor by light or darkness, nor by heaven or hell. He cannot be deceived. We must face the facts of our lives before Him. The fact that God knows you constantly can either assure you or frighten you. If you are at peace with God, with sins forgiven and your life committed, it will greatly assure and encourage you. But if you are out of the will of God, living in sin and rebellion, this will terrify you, as well it should. So here is my counsel to you from Job 22:21. Acquaint now thyself with Him, and be at peace. Thereby good shall come to you. Father, we're humbled before You at the thought of Your infinite wisdom. We're amazed that even though You know us so well, knowing our weakness and failures as well as our strength and victories, You love us just the same. We thank You for Your loving kindness and for Your wonderful grace. In Jesus' name, amen.